I get my microphone on this morning. Can you hear me? Yeah. All right. I just knocked it off my ear. How about that? No wonder I couldn't hear myself. I'm throwing it everywhere. I've got so many wires coming off of me, it looks like I'm having an EKG this morning. Oh, if y'all hear some thump, thump, thump in the speakers, it's just because I'm so wired up. And now I'm all hung up too. There we go. Well, Pastor Kevin asked me if I would speak this morning, and I said, yeah, I would love to do that. Today is kind of a special Sunday for us here in the life of our church. We do this every year. My goodness, I'm still tangled. I feel like the bionic man. I got it. I think I whipped it. Look at that. Applause, everyone. Thank you. And now for my next trick. This is a very special Sunday for us. It's one of the Sundays I look forward to every year. It's because we have a special group in our church that have reached a milestone in their life. And it's our seniors, the ones who are graduating from high school, and they're going on to the big, big, bad world, right? They're going on to see what the next chapter of their life is for. In our second service this morning, we're going to recognize those seniors who are graduating. We're going to have them up here. We're going to talk to them a little bit about what God has been doing in their life, what their plans are as they move forward. So I encourage you, after small group, if you get a chance, just kind of step back in and have a moment with those students. And so this morning, as I started thinking about that big step that they're having, I started thinking about our own lives. What would it have been like had our lives, and maybe some of us have had these people who have just spoken truth into our lives, but I started thinking about, man, if I could go back and tell my 18-year-old self a few things, what would that look like? What were the things that I would want to share with myself coming out of high school and going into the world? So here's what we're going to do this morning. I need you to play along with me, okay? Everybody's got their imagination caps on? All right, good. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get into a time machine right now. I've been working tirelessly on a time machine, and here it is. You see what you see it? It's invisible. So it's so good it's a time machine that you can't see. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to get in the time machine. You join me, okay, ready? I want you to take the dial on the time machine, and I want you to crank it back to your 18th birthday. All right, you got to do the addition, right? I was 18 in the year 1994. Some of you guys may be in the 80s or the 70s or the 2000s, whenever it was, crank that dial back to your 18th birthday, okay? You ready? All right, go ahead, buckle in, all right? And you ready? On the count of three, we're going to hit the button. We're going back in time to when we were 18 years old. Ready? One, two, three. Pew! My time machine's pretty good. It's real, real gentle. We're back. We're back, and you're 18 years old. I want you to think about when you were 18 years old, what life was like. What was it like back when you were 18? Probably had a few less cares, right? A few less worries. The world was your oyster, right? You are ready to conquer the world. You're coming out of high school, and you are facing the first job, military enrollment, college, trade school. You're doing something. That's a point in our life that we can always kind of go back when we got that diploma. For some of us, it was a few years ago. Some of us, it was a few more years ago. But think about those things. What are some of the things that you wish you could go back and tell yourself that would help you through the world today? Well, this morning, I think the best thing we could ever do is look at the Scripture, because that is God's blueprint for our life. He's given us everything in His Word to know about life, about what to do when we encounter things. And so this morning, if you would, grab your Bibles, and you're going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. We're going to be in two or three different places today. But we're going to start in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. The reason I know that the Bible is just completely full of wisdom for us is that in the New Testament, number one, has a lot of the teachings directly from the mouth of Jesus. And so if you have a red letter Bible, the verses we're going to look at right now in my scripture, oh, there y'all are, the verses that are in my scripture are in red. So we know that Jesus is the one who is speaking this. Now, a little context for these verses. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus has been hanging out with the disciples for quite a long time. And he's coming to the point where he's about to launch them out into the world. He's going to enable them to multiply his own ministry, the effects that he's already had. These guys are going out into the world to share the love of God, to share who Jesus is. And he knows that they're going to encounter some rough things along the way. And he gives them a couple of pointers here as he's sending out the disciples, because he tells them about all the things that could happen. And he's telling them all kinds of things. He's giving them really good instructions a few verses before. He says, don't take the road that leads to the Gentiles. He says, don't go into the Samaritan towns. He says, go to the lost sheep of Israel. And he says, as you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near. He's telling them what to do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. He says, look, as you've received, freely give. He's giving them all this wonderful advice. He says, if you freely received it, freely give it. He says, don't worry about gold and silver or copper. He says, don't worry about that. Don't even really take a traveling bag for the road. Or don't even take a shirt or sandals and staff. He says, look, when you get there, if you're worthy, he said, they're going to feed you, right? And he says, all these wonderful things to it. And then we get down to here, verse 16. The little heading over my scripture says that persecutions are predicted. Listen, if I could go back in my time machine to my 18-year-old self and say, hey, you got it really good right now. You do. But persecution's going to happen. If you are going to live out your faith, the faith that you are grounded in, and if you're going to make a stand for the Savior, you're going to come across tough times. And here's what Jesus tells his disciples. Look what he says in verse 10. It says this, look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Well, that's comforting, isn't it? And Jesus says, hey, look, you're going to be like a sheep. I'm sending you out, and there's a big old pack of wolves out there, and you're a big old tasty-looking sheep. Jesus knows that we go through some stuff in life. He knows that we're going to be faced with things that are impossible for you and I to overcome on our own. He knows this. And so he gives some particular words of wisdom. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. Shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Now listen, I am not a big fan of snakes. We've talked about this before. There's nothing worse than being out in the woods or in your yard and seeing that slithering, creepy little creature stick its head out. Now, I don't care what kind of a snake it is. It could be one of them little bitty green grass snakes. I don't like snakes. I just don't like them. Especially the ones that could actually kill you and hurt you. Those are the ones I really don't like. And I know the argument, there are good snakes. There are good snakes, quote unquote. So you don't want to mess with those, and you don't want to be around the ones that could really hurt you. But just set all that aside just for a moment. Set aside the fears and the anxieties that we may have when you think about a snake. And let's talk about what snakes are good at. What are some positive attributes of a snake? Well, snakes are pretty wise. If you think about it, when you boil it down to a snake that you may find in the woods, snakes are wise. Snakes use a lot of caution as they go about. And not only that, snakes will protect themselves in times of danger. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. And the first thing he tells them is, consider the snake. I want you to be as shrewd as a snake. So what does that mean for you and I and our 18-year-old selves? Well, snakes are always aware of their surroundings, right? If you ever look at a snake, I like to watch those documentaries on TV, you know, where they get really close. How do they get so close to these animals with a camera? I'll never understand. But they'll film a snake. A snake is always constantly analyzing its environment. It's feeling for vibrations of people who are coming close. The tongue is always jetting out, and it's so weird. It comes out, and it comes back in, and it hits these receptor points inside of its mouth, and it can taste the air. It can tell different things just by its tongue. And so it's listening. It's always aware of what's going on around itself. And here's what Jesus is telling his disciples and what he's telling us today, is that Jesus really wants you to be aware as you walk through this world. He wants you to be aware of the things that are going on around. None of us would willingly walk into a pen of wolves if we were a sheep. But Jesus says, I'm going to send you. You're not going to be alone, and I'm going to be with you. But at the same time, I need you to be aware of your surroundings. I need you to be aware of threats that are going on around you. He knew that the disciples were going to be stepping into a situation that was not the best, but it was necessary for them to go so that the gospel could be proclaimed. So he's telling them, be aware. Not only are snakes aware of their surroundings, they're all about self-preservation. I've never been bitten by a snake, praise the Lord. I feel like I've come close a few times when I was hunting, but I've never been bitten by a snake. What happens when a snake is confronted with your presence? What is the first? I'm convinced that we are around snakes more than we actually know. Because what is a snake's first instinct? Slither away, right? They don't like you. They don't want to be around you. You are way bigger than they are. So they kind of slither away. They're going to preserve themselves for another day. And so Jesus wants the disciples to understand this, and what he wants us to know is today is you're being launched out into the world. It's going to be a dangerous place, but we also have to have the wisdom of a snake where it is self-preserving itself. A snake's going to escape or strategically defend themselves. It's going to get away first, but if it has to, it'll fight. If it has to, it'll stand its ground. It doesn't want to, but it will. Listen, as believers, we are supposed to be the same. Preserve yourself because God has a plan for you. Sometimes we've got to make a stand. Sometimes we have to fight. Sometimes. The last thing about a snake is they're pretty resourceful. They can find resources. They're clever beings, and they're going to survive in some very, very unique ways. And Jesus says, be as shrewd or as wise as a serpent. But he doesn't just leave it to snakes, right? I mean, because that would be kind of not Jesus' style, just leave it on a snake. He kind of comes right behind that and he says, hey, be as shrewd as a serpent, but be as innocent as a dove. And innocent as a dove. Doves are beautiful creatures. If you've ever seen a photo up close of them, there's a reason why doves are a symbol of peace. They're beautiful creatures. Jesus wants us to be operating in this world with that same type of fervor as a dove. This peaceful presence, this peaceful demeanor. Jesus wants us to be peacemakers. And not always the way that we think. He wants us to bring the gospel and carry it forth to the world so that inside they could have peace too. Because the gospel is that calming factor in my life. When things are going out of control, I can always know that Jesus is there with me and he's working through my life. And so doves are a symbol of peace. Doves are also this, they're pure, they're innocent. Jesus wants us to live a life of integrity and moral purity, which is exactly the way that Jesus lived. So these kind of diametrically opposed animals come together and Jesus says, hey, I need you to be as wise as a snake as you're going through this world and as innocent as a dove. I need you to be aware of everything that's going on around you. You're on a mission. I need you to be aware of everything that's going around you. I need you to preserve yourself, but sometimes you're going to have to stand and fight. And even though you have to do these things, you can do it as you bring peace to people's lives, as you share the gospel, and you can keep your sense of integrity. I wish I could go back and tell my 18-year-old self that. Because even though brought up in the church, I needed to know these things. I needed to be reinforced with these things the way that Jesus has asked us to live. But this is not the only thing that I think that I wish I could share with my 18-year-old self. Get your Bible and turn back about four chapters. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Very familiar passages this morning, but things that are powerful. Jesus is preaching again. The words this morning we read in the scripture in my Bible are red. So these words are from Jesus. And Jesus says in these particular passages, look, the world is out there. And you're going to have some anxieties. You're probably going to have some worries from time to time. But Jesus has some things to tell us about those moments as well. In fact, right before these few verses, he's saying this. He says, don't worry about what you're going to do. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. It says, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But look at verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you. I love the sweet innocence of being younger, not having the responsibilities that a lot of us have as we've grown up. The less anxieties, the less worries about how I'm going to pay this bill, how am I going to have to do this, how am I going to maneuver through this situation that I find myself in. I love the fact that Jesus directs specifically here us some specific steps. He says these scriptures are from actually the Sermon on the Mount. And he's speaking directly to us about having these anxieties and these worries about life. And he says, here's the key. Here's the key about worry and anxiety. Listen, we all have it. If I asked you to raise your hand this morning and tell me that you had no worries in life and no anxieties in life, and you raised your hand, I'd probably think you were fibbing to me. We all have moments that we worry. We all have moments that we are anxious for an answer about something. And those are human. Those are natural. They're not necessarily right. A lot of things in our human life, because of our sinful nature, they kind of come in because of sin, but Jesus has a way to overcome them. And when we have these worry moments, I wish I could tell myself back in the day, just remember this verse. It says, to seek first the kingdom of God. Let's break that down just a minute. What does it mean? If we really want to have a release from a worry and an anxiety that's in our life, the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? What does it mean to seek first? Well, it really just means simply this, that God's will should be the priority in your life above every other thing. Every other thing. It says it must be the primary focus of your life. It has to be more important than things like your career, the school that you're going to attend, your friendship groups, your family, or even that the scripture just tells us is what Jesus is saying, it's got to be more important than even what you're going to eat or drink in the morning. Jesus is saying before you brew that cup of community coffee in the morning, you should be seeking me. You should be seeking the Father's kingdom. What is paramount in your life? And I don't know about you, there's some times that I can be very laid back. Sometimes I just kind of let life happen. It's not necessarily what the scripture wants us to do. I'll confess that. Because seeking first the kingdom of God is something that we have to be active in. It's something we have to be proactive in. In other words, we have to actively pursue God's leadership in our life, and we cannot be passive about seeking it. Because if we want to be released from the anxieties and the worries that the world is going to throw at us, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Another thing we have to do here is this, simply is this, trust his provision. Trust his provision. It says, if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be provided for you. So if God is concerned about what we consume, like what we eat and about the clothes that we wear, isn't he more concerned about the hardships that we're going through? If he's going to provide for the little things, do you think he's going to ignore the big things? No. He's actively looking and seeking ways to work in our life to bring him glory so that other people can see him working in our lives and be attracted to the God who is working in our lives. So they say, my life is in shambles. You look like you have it together. I don't have it all together, but I have a God who's holding me together. And I can introduce you to that same Savior that I have. See, God has a plan. He doesn't wish that anyone perish. He doesn't wish that anyone goes to hell. But that's why a decision for Jesus Christ is the most important thing that we could ever do in our lives. He's going to use the situations in our lives. Oh, that's a paradigm shift, right? He's going to use the situations that are tough in our lives to not only see where our faith lies, but to have other people see how good of a God he is when he brings us through to the other side. So we have to have that eternal focus when we're seeking first the kingdom of God. And the third and final thing I want to bring to you today is this, is that the lesson I wish that we could always learn when we're younger is simply this, to trust in the Lord. Look in Proverbs chapter 3 with me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Now the letters here are not in red. This is not Jesus speaking. This is Old Testament, but the writer of the Proverbs are the wisest people who ever lived. And so I think that's a pretty good spot for us to kind of end what we're talking about here today, is trusting in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. You know what's cool a few verses before this? If you back up to verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. The above thing, the label of this chapter for me, it says, trust the Lord. But verse 1 of chapter 3 says, my son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands. Verse 2, for they will bring you many days of full life and well-being. Listen to number 3. Oh, I like this one. This may be my life verse. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and high regard with God and people. And then verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own understandings. Your translation may say, don't lean on your own understandings. When we look at this verse, it's real fun to kind of go through it. What is trust? What does it look like to trust in the Lord? Well, it's not really just like this simple mental assent to things. Like, okay, yeah, in my mind, I'm going to really trust him. I'm going to say that I trust him. But trust is what the dictionary would tell us, is a deep-seated confidence or a reliance or a full dependence on something. Let me say that again. It is a deep-seated confidence, it is a reliance, and it is a full dependence on God. So if your translation says lean, I love that. I absolutely love it. There are some things in life as a 6'6" big old boy that I don't trust. One of those is camping chairs. I have destroyed a few camping chairs in my life. Because when you put this big frame in a chair that's been out in the weather for a little bit, sometimes it just don't hold up. There are some things that if I leaned against would be demolished, let's just be honest. If I leaned upon this podium, it may hold me for a while, but honestly, if I really leaned into it with all 315 pounds of myself, it would be on the ground. It would not be able to handle me. There are some things in life that I know that physically cannot support me. There's some things in life that I know just cannot support me emotionally, cannot support me spiritually, cannot support me in a bunch of different ways. But it's kind of funny, you know, as a young person growing up and stuff, you kind of feel the way through life. And sometimes I think about all those things that I tried to lean into that just couldn't support what I was trying. It couldn't support me. Even to this day, there's some things that I know if I leaned into, that's really not worth it, because in the end, it's going to crumble, it's going to fall. But the Bible tells us this. It says right here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Do not rely on your own understanding. I can't rely on mine. I can't lean into the things that I know. Because Brian is going to crumble. Brian is going to fall. But the scripture tells us right here that the person that we need to have a deep-seated confidence, a reliance, and a full dependence upon God is God, right? It's placing your very security and your hope in His hands and nowhere else. It says, not only do this, but do it with all of your heart. Do it with every fiber of your being. This is a complete trust, a complete reliance on the Lord. This leaves no room for a divided loyalty whatsoever or a holding back of some part of your life. Lord, I'm going to lean into you for 80%, but the other 20 I'm going to handle on my own. No, that's not what the scriptures tell us to do. It says trust in Him with all of your heart. You can't do that. You can't keep things back. But what it does say here is that when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and do not rely on our own understanding, it says in verse 6, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. In all of your ways, know Him, and He will make your paths straight. I wish I could go back and tell my 18-year-old self and reinforce this. You want a straight path in life? Trust in Him. You want a straight path in life? Lean into God. You want a straight path that isn't all curvy and crooked in life? Trust in Him. Don't lean on your own understanding. You'll mess it up every time. But it always acknowledge Him, and He's going to make your path straight. Will it be easy? No, it's not gonna. It didn't say that their path wouldn't be rocky. It just said it's going to be straight. We know that the Lord will see us through the highs and the lows. All right, so we're still in our time machine. We're still back at our 18-year-old self. We got to get back to the present. So everybody put your seatbelt back on, right? Boop, there's the button. Boom, we're back right here today in this sanctuary. I've had a little bit of fun bringing you back to the past. But the truth is, everything that we've talked about today does apply to our past selves, but it applies to you right here, right now. What does the Lord have for you? For some of us, I realized I'm in the middle of my life. I'm coming on 50. I've just got a few years left. Some of us are younger. We're just kind of getting started. Some of us may be in the twilight of our years. I tell you, no matter where we are, God has a plan for you. And God has something for you to do. And it's not just to sit on our laurels and just kind of experience life as it kind of goes by. Sometimes I'm really excited about putting life in neutral. It's not what God wants for you today. He's got a rich, enjoying, rewarding life for you. And what does He want you to know? He says, hey, no matter where you are in life, I'm sending you out. Because time is short. Jesus knows, the Lord, God knows when He's coming back for His children. He's got some work for us to do. And He's sending us out to do certain things. And when He sends us out, I want you to know today in the year 2025, what He wants you to do is to be as shrewd as a snake and as gentle as a dove. He wants you to be able to be aware of your surroundings, to know when to hold them and when to fold them, right? He know when to walk away and when to run away, right, from certain things and when to stand your ground on certain things. He wants us to do that, but to be the bringers of peace into other people's lives. He wants us to live a life of integrity. And how do we do that today? We do it by seeking Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, He wants you today to make God's will a priority in your life, to make that an active part of your life. When you wake up every morning, you're seeking Him intentionally about what He has for you and trust His provision for that day. And then He tells us to trust in the Lord. It's not that simple mental, okay, Lord, I trust in you. Instead, it is a full-seated confidence and reliance on Him to provide everything that we would ever need. And we have to do it with all of our heart. This is complete. We have to do these things. Because whether you're 18 years old in here or 118 years old in here, God has a plan for you. And He wants you to rely fully on Him. Not only will your life be the best life it could ever be here on this earth, it won't be perfect. It's going to be good because you're following the Lord. But everybody sees what the Lord is doing in your life, and they are drawn to Him. Listen, my encouragement for you today is this. If you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, would today be the day of salvation? Would you just say, Lord, I hear these scriptures. I understand these things. I've never fully given you lordship of my life. I've never turned control of my life over to you. Maybe you've never fully surrendered your life to Him for salvation, for saving, that one day you would be guaranteed to be in heaven with Him. If that's something that the Lord is leading you to do, in a moment we're going to pray. You'll hear some music being played. I'll be chilling up here, hanging up here, and I would love to speak to you about what it looks like to fully surrender your life to Him. But if you're a believer in here, be encouraged. These things are simple. These are verses we've heard probably all our lives. But seek first the kingdom of God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. He has a plan for you. Why don't you stand to your feet and let's bow your heads this morning. If the Lord leads you, I'll be here. If not, you'll be dismissed for our small groups. Pray for our seniors who are graduating in just a few days. And if you get a chance, come back and honor them in the second service. Lord, we love you. We thank you. What a sweet time that we get to hang out together in your scriptures and be reminded of what it says. Lord, we want to cast all our cares on you this morning, Lord. Help us to just really lean in to you and nothing else on this earth. Lord, we know you are dependable, you're strong, you are faithful, you're never failing. You are the giver of all good things, Lord. Help us to remember that. Help us to thank you, Lord. Thank you for the tough times that I've gone through in my life that have just drawn me closer to you. A lot of people, Lord, we don't realize that the tough stuff can be glorifying if we let you take it and redeem these things. Lord, as we walk out of here this morning, two things. If someone needs to know you as Savior, I pray that they would surrender their life to you. But Lord, help us to remember you're always with us no matter where we go. I look forward to hearing stories about this week, about trusting you with things that maybe people have never trusted you with before, and to see how awesome and a solid rock of a God that you are. Lord, bless us, watch over us. You know our needs that we have. You are able and abundantly can meet any need that we have. Do it for your glory. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. I'll be here if you need me.